the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
A good morning. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, together on this terrific Thursday, the 25th day of March. Trusting you're doing well. It's 9:06 in the morning, and I just want to give a shout out to all of you, as we say in Arkansas, all y'all, right, that came out to Chris Ann Hall's training last night, Liberty First University. It was phenomenal. Training. In fact, Chris Ann Hall, she has become quickly one of my heroes. She has a way of delivering a message that every word counts for something, and it just motivates and engages the audience into action. And I love the way she's teaching and training us through the Constitution and helping us be aware, you know, have that awareness that it's not too late. We can do something. And the room was packed. In fact, we encourage people to continue to come next Wednesday night. Now, I think it's 17 weeks. So it's going to happen every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. at the River Church. And I can give you more information on the specifics if you want to send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. I could give you more specifics on that. But every Wednesday night, in fact, the room was so packed, we might have to actually have it in the sanctuary next week. And wouldn't that be fun if we filled that place up, too? And I'm incredibly encouraged, and I needed that encouragement, and I wanted to start out with that as we get into some of the news of the day and before we head into the discussion on the news of the day that we're going to have this morning. My co-host this morning is Bill Sunderland. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great to be here. So glad to have you here with me in the studio as we kind of walk through and wrestle through some of these articles and some of the stuff that's going on that we're facing here. We're in interesting times right now.
Yes, we are.
And here in Salem, two victims were hospitalized after a shooting in Southeast Salem. And no arrests have been reported in connection to this shooting that happened. And the sheriff's office said via Twitter that investigators do not believe that there's any outstanding danger to the area residents at this time, but it is something that we want to keep in mind and certainly keep in prayer. And then some good news up in the area of Detroit, you know, with the fires and all of that. Spirits were high, and this comes from the Salem Reporter. Spirits are high in Detroit on Saturday, March 20th, as the first steps were taken to build the new Detroit Community Center. Contractors, suppliers, public officials, residents, property owners gathered to kick off the construction of the new building. So that is some good news.
Perfect, great news there, yeah.
But here's some interesting news coming out of the Northwest Observer.
Ah.
This is coming from the State House. Now, there's a lot of news happening at the State House right now, also at the national level, which we'll kind of work our way through, Bill. So be patient with me this morning as we do this. So this is from the Northwest Observer, and the title says, "Homeless Camps Allowed Anywhere? Cities would be forced to conform." And so I'm going to read through this because I think it's pretty important that we have the facts and know what to do about this. Two laws are now being proposed by the Oregon Democrats that would essentially forcibly allow homeless camping in every Oregon city. Both HB 2367 and HB 3115 are currently being discussed in the House Judiciary Committee. Similar legislation has been attempted by the Democrats in 2017 with HB 2215 and failed. At the time, the public was allowed to lobby the state officials in person and attend committee hearings. However, this current 2021 legislative session is seeing aggressive moves from the Democrats to push through heavy-handed policy and constitutional changes while the public is essentially unable to participate due to the Capitol building having been banned. They've banned the general public from attending. While being discussed in the House Judiciary Committee meeting on March 9th, City of Hillsborough attorney Chad Jacobs explained that all cities in Oregon would be forced to change their ordinances to allow for the homeless encampments. HB 2367 states that it would make violations of the Rights to Rest Act to be unlawful practice enforceable by Commissioner of Bureau of Labor and Industries or by civil action. In other words, the state would be threatened would threaten action against the city if it does not accept the terms of the act. And that was an article written by Bruce Armstrong. And so we've been talking about the homeless situation. And Bill,
lots going on in that article.
You and I have known each other for, you know, several years, 30 well, years, let's, long, let's not, long
let's
time.
Put, let's
whole,
not put a number on, shall
whole
we?
Our life. But when I lived here before, Bill, one of the things I really took pride in being from Oregon is our green Oregon state,
right,
and how the byways and the highways were beautiful. Mm-hmm. They were vibrant. Yep. You didn't see what you saw down in Southern California with the trash along the side, right, or what I've seen in Oklahoma or even in the reservation areas of South Dakota where there's trash and clothing littered and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm saddened. But moreover than that, and I've talked about this many times and our listeners know, the humanity. Mm-hmm. We're not doing these people any service.
No.
And it's heart-wrenching. And again, I talked about this yesterday, $86 million the Biden administration is putting towards these illegal folks coming across the border to house them in nice hotels.
Right.
What about our homeless here?
Mm-hmm.
What about our homeless in our urban areas? We have to address this, and
we're just compounding the problem.
It's compounding the problem. Mm-hmm. And then this coming out of the national level, and I want to get into some depth with this with you. There's a couple subjects I have I want to talk to you about.
Sure.
The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals rules there's no right to carry, either openly or concealed in public. Whoa, that is a pretty serious blow to our Second Amendment. And as we go through this morning, I want to talk a little bit and bring some things, points that Chris Ann Hall talked to us about last night in our Liberty First University. But the National Rifle Association just issued a tweet claiming that the notoriously liberal Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has declared in a case that there is no inherent right to carry a concealed weapon listed in the Constitution. I'm like, where are these guys? How have they gotten their training? And what are they thinking? And what kind of oath did they swear? And what Constitution are they reading?
Right.
The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit just ruled that there is no right to carry, either openly or concealed in public. This ruling impacts the RTC laws in Alaska, Hawaii, California, Arizona, Oregon, Washington, and Montana.
Mm-hmm.
This was not an NRA case, but we are exploring all options to rectify this, the tweet noted. Details are scarce at this time, but the ruling comes as Democrats use their thin majorities in the House and Senate to push new gun control legislation. And the Biden regime is reportedly considering executive action on guns in the wake of the two recent mass shootings. And then right here in Oregon, in our own backyard yesterday, you know, there was an opportunity for our senators to do the right thing and stay away and walk out and oppose and try to get some negotiation. But six remained.
Mm-hmm.
So the legislation yesterday was pushed through. An alarm to everybody, all the constituents that did the phone calling. I know a lot of our listeners were on the phones, on the email, through their groups, you know, getting information to everybody. And people are extremely frustrated. And I want to tell you this, friends. Don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't give up. This is not the time to feel defeated. I know, it's extremely frustrating. And certainly our wonderful senators and our House of Representatives that are doing the right thing. I know you're feeling really isolated, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But we are, whatever we can do, we want to keep pushing in and we want to keep staying connected to our elected leaders. And don't give up. I it's hard to stay hope-filled, Bill. There's a lot going on, you know.
Well,
tell me what you're thinking of some of these things that we're just talking about.
Well, curing some of this is going to require just a fundamental change in how we think and how we believe. And conservatives, for example, believe that all people are good, and that some of these people that have these ideas are just good people with bad ideas. And I think, unfortunately, we're going to have to change that up, and we're going to have to realize that really some of these are genuinely bad people.
Mm.
I mean, from leadership on down.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to understand that, and it's important to treat it as it deserves to be treated. The whole idea of gun control is such a fascinating one for me. The idea that it's even being discussed in the face of all of the data out there to the contrary, that says it doesn't work. The very thought, the very logic of it falls flat on its face the moment you start. There is no such thing as gun control.
Mm-hmm.
There is criminal justice reform, and there is criminal control. Mm-hmm. But you, if I put a gun on the table right over there by your coffee and I say, I command you, gun, to get up and shoot somebody, you know what's going to happen?
It's going to stay
that
there.
That gun's going to sit right there on that table and mm-hmm. do zero. Mm-hmm. And the idea that we have to control a tool because that tool is somehow going to jump up off the counter and hurt somebody is ridiculous. And so really it's the leftist and the left-leaning Democrats really do believe that people aren't worthy of being trusted with their lives. And that's true whether you're talking about guns, whether you're talking about how you raise your families, whether you're talking about where you're wearing a mask. These people literally do not trust in anyone other than their immediate circles and the people that hold the same values that they hold. They don't see people as inherently good with bad ideas. They see inherently bad people. Mm. And that's not going to change for them. And so we have to realize as conservatives, as, you know, whatever your faith is, practice your faith. If you're a believer, that's great too. But, you know, you have to begin to understand that when someone tries to tell you how to live your life and they're not living your life, you have to step back from that and take pause and think, okay, so what is the reasoning behind this? And why do I want to go along with this? Why is this something I'm going to actually do?
And you are exactly right there. And the thing that I'm reminded about, this gentleman who went into the grocery store in Boulder, Colorado, the reality is it was a gun-free zone.
Right.
It was almost like a sign welcoming someone like him of his mental state
That's
to come
right.
in and target mm-hmm. innocent people shopping if they don't have enough on their plate already. I think about our Oregonians and the people I've encountered in the stores here at the grocery outlet or Fred Meyer or whatever, and everybody's just trying to get in and get out. They don't like wearing the mask. They hardly talk anymore or connect. It's mm-hmm. it's a whole different atmosphere. And then you add into that the threat of someone coming in because it's a gun-free zone. It just doesn't, again, make common sense at all.
Well, and it's important, I think, to realize the underlying sort of logic behind it or illogic behind it. If somebody says to me, we don't trust that you are going to do the right things with your God-given freedoms, mm-hmm. with your liberties, we are going to do that for you. Think about that for a second. So this guy goes in. First of all, he's Syrian. Which, whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, there's lots of people trying to argue
he's
that
he's not the white guy that they first said he was.
No, he's a Syrian, and that's fine. He's Syrian. It's mm-hmm. not like it's a bad thing to be Syrian, but the point is he's not what they're saying. And he goes in, he goes into an area where everybody knows that it's a very restricted area for weapons carry, and he starts shooting people up. Mm. And so when you look at some of the governor's responses, Kate Brown, you look at some of the other leaders, they just don't care. Mm-mm. You know, they say they do. They don't.
If they there wouldn't be homeless
she
people.
She doesn't give a crap.
At. No.
No,
if they were really,
really
the compassionate, caring individuals, there would not be the homeless.
No.
It's a total disconnect. And again, if we were allowed to conceal carry in the grocery store like that, I am certain of it that he would not have harmed 10 people, killed them.
He'd have been stopped.
He would have been stopped. Yep. And kudos to the one police officer who did
Absolutely.
Hit all he could. He was the one that was able to address mm-hmm. it, but he wasn't enough. So we're going to continue the conversation. We're going to talk a little bit about liberty and our right to defend ourselves. We're going to tap into some of this Chris Ann Hall training I got last night. We'll be back after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, with my co-host today, Bill Sunderland. We'll be back.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're here to encourage, educate, and empower you with news that you can use on this Thursday and every day. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, hanging out with Bill Sunderland today. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
And we're continuing on with this discussion about liberty and why it's important that we guard it. And if we don't understand it, we don't know how to define it, we can't defend it.
It comes with responsibility in maintaining and growing liberty. Is you have it takes responsibility, just like being financially responsible or raising your kids well or doing a good job, you know, at your work, whatever it is you choose to do. Mm-hmm. It takes being responsible. It doesn't happen by accident.
Well, and that means that we have to show up. We have to start participating. Yep. We need to call our elected leaders. We need to make sure that our friends and family are registered to vote, because we have an election around the corner this year for school board, in fact, and there's going to be a Safe School Summit coming up on the 24th of April, and we want to encourage you to get registered for that. parentsrightineducation.org/events. Get registered. It's going to be fantastic.
It's a great organization.
And we need to be geared up. We need to get behind these candidates, these great candidates that are running for school board, and we'll continue to talk more about that as we get closer to the election. But when we talk about liberty, here is something that I wanted to read, Bill, and I want your thoughts on this, because we have to go back not only to our founding fathers, but the information that the founding fathers used that inspired them to think the way that they did, right? And many of them were faith-filled, believing in Christianity, right, and believing in Jesus, and some were not. But again, our country was established with the right to or not to believe.
That's correct.
And we were influenced by the Christian notion of liberty.
That's right.
And I love this, what James Madison said: where an excess of power prevails, no sort of property is respected. And here's the thing that kept standing out to me in the training that we had last night, and it's just a great reminder, is that we had our rights don't come from the government.
Nope.
Our inalienable rights come from God.
That's right.
And our right to property, in a sense, those rights in and of itself are our property.
That's correct.
And we have a right to defend it. So when they come and tell us that we cannot carry openly or concealed and go through the, you know, all of their, we cannot defend our own rights and our own property. This is a conflict. And it says it is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, when the arbitrary restrictions, exemptions, and monopolies deny to part of its citizens that free use of their faculties and the free choice of their occupations. That is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where the property which a man has in his personal safety and personal liberty is violated by arbitrary seizures of one's class of citizens for the service of the rest. So when you think about right now,
there's a lot
at
there.
The U.S. Capitol, they are secure in a fence around them. At the U.S. Capitol, making decisions about gun control.
Yeah. Well,
and the irony of it all.
And when I think a lot of the, what's happening at the U.S. Capitol right now is essentially a political version of the Truman Show. And that by itself is very, very scary. But we'll just leave that for now. That, what you just read, touches on a lot of really important things. And one of them is, yes, property, but the other one really speaks to how you want to live your life.
Yes.
You have the right to live your life in a way that you see fit in your pursuit of happiness, as long as it doesn't affect
harm someone else.
And it's just literally that simple. You don't need all of these laws. You don't need all these regulations. They're absolute garbage.
You respect, I'll respect my property, and I'll respect your right to have your own property, and those properties are also rights.
Right.
And we have an obligation, and here was the bottom line that I loved of the whole message last night. To love our neighbor. If we really loved our neighbor, we would protect the liberty, not only our own liberty, but our neighbor's liberty.
On behalf of our neighbors.
On behalf of our neighbors.
Right.
And this, we've lost this. And we have this social justice. Oh my gosh, we have to take care of the homeless. And we're moved, but nothing's being done.
Well,
and if
we're
Kate
being
Brown
played.
Loved her neighbor, she would make sure that we were that our rights were protected, no matter if we agreed with her or not. She would have a general understanding and compassion for all of her people in Oregon, not the ones that can benefit her to move along her career path.
That's right. You know, I really struggle with this, because I have a really hard time trying to figure out if these people are just dumb or they're evil. I can't wrap my mind around it. It's like, is this being done because they don't understand human nature, or is it because they just don't care and they want it, they're in the pursuit of power, or some maybe combination of the two?
It's the corruption of power, I believe, and influence, and having that much strength that it feels like And it seems like in action, right? Actions speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. We are more under a common law than right. we are under a constitution.
Correct.
And that's what we escaped from. America, the great idea of America, we escaped monarchy common law.
The founders, that's why they wrote the stuff the way they
exactly.
did. Because they were writing and building a free country using concepts, ideas, and ideals that were part of their informed experiences.
Mm-hmm.
That just didn't come out of the ether. I mean, it was based on faith. But again, there's nothing in there in the Constitution or anywhere else from a constitutional perspective. There's nothing that says that you cannot go to the Church of the Brown Banana.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody cares about that.
Yeah.
It's you practice the faith that you believe.
Right.
That's you have the freedom to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You have the freedom to speak your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't even an edict saying you had to do things a certain way. You didn't start seeing that until you got to the 60s and 70s and so on, where
That's
we've
crazy.
Got this massive infringement on freedoms that we're talking about.
Well, and it's the thing that we have to be awakened to ourselves, that we need to raise our level of awareness of our Constitution, not only our U.S. Constitution and what was guaranteed in that, and hold our elected leaders accountable to that, because they all make oath of office, right? Mm-hmm. They all swear, I'm going to support the state constitution, the U.S. Constitution, and I'd like to get my hands on it. I had the governor's oath. I'd like to know what the representatives and senators are swearing to, because I think we can bring that to their attention as
right.
we're dealing with some of the stuff we're dealing with right now. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, having a lively discussion this morning about our liberties and some of the threats that we're facing right here in our own backyard. We'll be back after this. You're welcome to give us a call if you want to join the conversation, have something to add. 503-589-1220. We'll be back after this. Radio KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, enjoying a wonderful morning. Let's take a look here at our weather and see what we can expect today. I didn't even pull it up. Usually I have it right there. So today already it's 45 degrees, cloudy sky, rain possible, getting it up to about 51 degrees. But here's the good news, all right? We always like the good news. 57 degrees Friday, 61 on Saturday, partly cloudy sky. Sunday, a little bit of rain, but still in the 60s. So I love that little warmer weather. You know what that means? It's sandal weather. I'm in my boots today, but as it gets warmer, I'm going to start wearing my sandals a little more, and excited to do some adventuring. I love the cherry blossoms. I love the daffodils that are springing up. In fact, right outside of my window at my house, there's daffodils popping up. I didn't even know they were out there. I didn't notice them last year, but I certainly noticed them this year. And we're so glad to have you listening today. We're continuing the discussion. I've got Bill Sunderland here with me. And Bill, you are an amazing smart, I call the people that I know that are smart and intelligent, I call them smarty smart.
Smarty smart.
You're a smarty smart, and you know a lot about a lot of different things in life, including you've been very helpful. You have our renter's insurance,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
and you've been assisting us going through this loss that we've experienced with the ice storm and, mm-hmm. and our food loss and mm-hmm. all of those kinds of things. And I know you've been extremely busy assisting people that experience loss as well.
Yeah.
It's been an incredible year between the fires and between all of that. Let's just talk a little bit about what you're doing and the kinds of things, kind of services you offer
mm-hmm.
People overall if they're looking for someone like yourself.
Right. Well, thank you for that. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun getting to know people's stories and helping them protect what's important to them. And I do a really, really good job at that. I enjoy it. I love to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to connect with people and hear what they're doing in their lives and what their journey is.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a part of that really is a privilege. It's not just about selling a policy. That's the tool we use,
mm-hmm.
right, to accomplish a specific goal for people.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is about understanding. You know, the tools, you can't do a job unless you have the correct tool for the job.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense at all to talk to somebody about renter's insurance if they own their home, for example.
Right.
Or to talk about $100,000 of life insurance if they need $600,000, right? Or that kind of thing. So it's really important to understand the needs of the people you're talking with and to understand the journey and what they want to do and what they want to accomplish. That way you can use the tools you have then to make those differences and to make those changes happen for them. And so, you know, it's I am a financial representative, and so my capabilities are fairly broad.
Right.
Anything from annuities and life insurance and disability all the way down to renter's insurance and everything else in between. And I've handled some very, very interesting scenarios, if you will. One gentleman actually does pipe work and ships pipe from Canada to the U.S.
Wow.
And so we're able to provide general liability for that. So a lot of really fun things, you know.
So if you're a business owner and you're wondering, and maybe your premiums are due again and all of that, and you want someone to give you just an insight on what another option would look like, I encourage you to get a hold of Bill. The cool thing, Bill, about you, and it's about relationship, and I think in this high-tech, fast, you can just fill out a form quick online. You have all these insurance sponsorship when you're on Facebook or whatever. Oh, buy insurance through us or whatever.
Oh,
whether
boy.
You know, yeah. You fill out those forms and all of a sudden you start getting all these phone calls all these text messages because it's like a funnel thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And friends, I am suspect of that. I'm very cautious and conscientious that I know you may save a few bucks a month by having this online representative or whatever. There is value to having, especially when you go through crisis. You have a fire in your home, on your property, you have ice storm loss. Bill's been very good at walking us through getting reimbursement for our food loss, believe it or not. And so, Bill, you have relationship. You'll sit down with someone and you'll look at the risk in their whole life and you'll learn what's the value of them to them and where are they at now and where do they want to be? You ask these kinds of questions. I appreciate that.
Cool.
I appreciate
you.
What you do there. And you're also engaged in the community. You're a sponsor here on the morning show. You're engaged in the community. I know that Country Financial has supported a lot of organizations like Kicking Cancer and different things. And so I appreciate that.
Yeah, we do things a lot differently on the Country Financial side of things because there's the Bill side and there's a Country Financial
side. Right.
Obviously. For the listeners that were like, wait a minute, we just switched to gear. Yes, in fact, we have. For the Country Financial side, we really do believe in enriching lives in the communities we serve. And that's the key piece. You won't see a lot of advertising for us. You won't see a lot of, radio. I guess I use the word TV because, I don't know what TV now is anymore.
Right.
Really, but radio and TV stuff, just in general, generic type advertising. Mm-hmm. That's just not what we do.
Right.
We put our money into the communities. And you'll see people at, you'll see country people at fairs and you'll see them at community events and that kind of thing throughout the summer and that's what we love to do. We love to get out there and just meet people and really hear their stories and connect with them.
Yeah, I think that's so critically important. And what I love about your perspective too and your economic sense of what's going on, I know you've been walking through with people. This is interesting. I know people back home who were really concerned about the election, the results of the election, and people put out fear that everything's going to crash and it's going to change. And yes, we've seen the inflation.
Yeah.
We see it at the gas tank. We know that there's some economic burden happening with the change in the administration, but it seems like when you talk about investments and long-term investing and things, people are making some really good decisions right now and they're having some reward for that.
Right.
And it's interesting tying back to Oregon and looking at headlines now. Governor Brown, this is coming from the Northwest Observer, she announced a federal fund distribution. We must create a more just and equitable Oregon.
Yes.
And she has a 10-point plan.
According to who, I wonder.
Yes, and here's another article headline I skimmed somewhere else. I don't even remember where it was, that's saying that we have so much federal funds coming into Oregon right now that we don't have to cut our budget. Isn't that interesting how the blue states are getting bailout money in a sense? And so she's got this 10-point economic recovery plan for Oregon. The 10-point plan, which was developed with input from the Governor's Council of Economic Advisors and Racial Justice Council.
Builds
on the work of local economic development districts across the state to help Oregon families and businesses. It provides a framework for economic recovery related to COVID-19 and wildfires with a specific focus on strategically supporting Black, Indigenous, and people of color communities.
Okay, just stop right there. stop right there. Now, wait a doggone second. Mm. We're going to let Portland get torn completely to the ground.
Right.
And all of these people, these minority people of all different kinds, doesn't matter. All these people have all these businesses in Portland.
That
we're not
going to
stop anybody from tearing it, but we're going to give you money because we think we're supporting your cause and we're going to make you believe we care about you. No, you don't. If you cared, you would stop people from tearing Portland apart.
It goes back to that good neighbor
thing. I mean, how in the world do you justify?
It's like being a part of the problem and then bringing the solution.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this.
We're
part of the solution.
And
the humankind, in my background in sociology and human services, is unfortunately, when the reward comes in at the end and the solution, you forget the pain.
That's right.
Especially, you know, these $1,400 stimulus checks. Oh, all of a sudden things are fine right now and people are out there buying and spending. They're not saving it for what could come, you know, next month or 2 months down the road. It is kind of an interesting thing.
It just makes me angry because these people in Portland have had their lives destroyed.
And when we talk about that, some of these businesses, you know, when they don't highlight some of these minority businesses
that
have sacrificed everything, that have not been able to be open, or they've had to move because of the threats to their businesses.
People have worked their tails off.
Mm-hmm.
And for what, right?
Mm-hmm. And so her 10-point plan for her economic, equitable and rapid economic recovery plan. Action one, investing in Oregon's hardest hit workers, those currently unemployed or underemployed. Let me tell you this. People are still waiting, and there's still some confusion about unemployment. And certainly now with the stimulus, and I heard someone say, my check went from $600 to $124. How am I supposed to pay my whatever, you know, out of that? And what's going on? Does anybody know? I can't get through. There's still communication issues.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they would have spent the however many million dollars, you know, 10, 11 years ago to get assist, I mean, hello,
yeah.
That was under Governor Brown.
Yep.
She was the Secretary of State. She was involved in government then.
Mm-hmm.
This hasn't been completed. Action two, reinvesting in innovative housing. Action three, supporting resilient rural communities.
What's
Action
that mean?
Four, yeah, it's a lot of lot of words. Supporting Oregon's workforce, those currently employed but struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Action five, creating opportunities for Oregonians, workforce development. Action six, getting small business back on its feet. Hello.
What?
Open up. Small business can do their own work. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you very much.
And action seven, investing in Oregon's infrastructure. Yeah. How about cleaning up the homeless? That would help as well.
I mean, right?
Oregonians investing in Oregon, safely reopening Oregon's economy, innovation in manufacturing. So these are all feel good, sounds good economic plan, but proof is in the pudding. Actions speak louder than words. And when you shut down an economy for a whole year, and you pick and choose winners and losers in business, I don't know how we come back from this.
But we're going to put down on a piece of paper 10 action items. But, you know, hey, listen, don't judge us on our results.
Follow through.
Don't judge us on our results. We don't, but judge us on our intentions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, judge us on how good we come across.
Mm-hmm.
Really? How about open up the businesses, let people live their lives, and you'll see a recovery, the likes of which you haven't seen in a long, long time. And guess what? You won't need to be involved.
Mm.
And see, this is the thing I think that's the problem, is that I really don't, I just, are they dumb or are they evil? I don't, because you read that, you don't need to be involved in those 10 things. The government doesn't need to be involved in that.
Well, and again, that goes back down to our training last night and our Liberty training, is when you let the individuals take care of their own homes,
That's
their
right.
own property, their own rights, their
yep.
own businesses, prosperity will come.
Yep.
You never get more prosperity by creating more hurdles and burdens on the individual or the individual business owners, any of that. Taxation by trying to claim more money. How can you squeeze something that has no money anymore?
The government doesn't create anything.
No.
And that's what people don't understand, or at least some people understand. They don't create anything. They just transfer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole 10-point thing is just, it's frankly just dumb.
And when I had J.C. Hall on last week, we were talking about socialism and this misnomer that socialism is this warm, fuzzy redistribution of wealth. And
yeah.
what it is in this whole like socialism versus capitalism, they're not even, it doesn't even make sense.
No.
Because socialists are capitalists. They just are elitists who want to have all the power and they want all the glory. That's why
that
we
power.
Have all the corporations that are involved, like Facebook and Amazon and all of these these things on the top, they want more, and they want the little guys and the populace to have less, and they want more control of that. And you and your family are taking some pretty, you've done some things in your which is the solution.
We have to start getting serious about this stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it gets back to our conversation earlier this morning. We talked about responsibility. Mm-hmm. I have stopped advertising on Facebook completely.
Yep.
We've gotten rid of our Amazon accounts. We've gotten rid of our Alexa devices. In fact, I let the kids disassemble the Alexa devices as garbage so they could see the electronic components.
So
we just sat down at the kitchen table and we just disassembled them. So we'll talk more about the rest of it afterwards.
Well, I want to hear some proactive things, and let's give our listeners and our friends here some action steps that we can do in our day-to-day life to fight back and defend liberty, okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, hanging out with Bill Sunderland this morning. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning. I'm stepping on my way.
Good morning to you. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. It's 9:50 in the morning, and we're having a great discussion this morning. Love talking to Bill Sunderland and hearing his perspective on some of these newsy items that we've been talking about. And certainly, I'm still chewing through a lot of the information that I learned last night at Chris Ann Hall's first class on Liberty University. And it's just incredible. And Bill, you know, you've heard me talk about a little bit, and we just had a commercial about the Safe Air Network. And Safe Air Network is a wonderful opportunity for you, whether you have in your home, in your car, in your office, in your mom or your grandma's assisted living home, your schools. It's a way to have safe air, and it uses the air pure and clean. It uses the technology that not only cleans the air, but goes out and desanitizes any threats on surfaces and those kinds of things. A 99.9% reduction in airborne SARS-CoV-2 viral particles in the air and surfaces within 3 minutes. It's huge. It's revolutionary. And it's been fun to go out and start talking to people, because I'm now, one of my titles, and you are like, what else are you doing? One of my titles is Safe Air Specialist. And so I've been able to do some appointments, talk to people, do an analysis of their air and how safe it is. And I really think this is a part of the solution as we open up Oregon. And again, when we talk about liberty, when we talk about freedom, we talk about helping our neighbor, helping one another. The thing that I get most excited about this is this: here we have a tool, we have a solution. We have a solution. We can fight back against the tyranny, in a sense, by saying, look, this is the science. We can prove it. There's research. It's been, you know, evaluated and all of this stuff.
Right.
How can they argue with that, right?
They will.
I'm sure so, but when we talk about things that we can do, this is one solution, right? What we can do is take a proactive measure in our home and our office to say, this is what we're doing. We're going to be a part of the Safe Air Network. The other things we can do to push back about the messaging and the narrative and the things that we're using, that we've been kind of, in a sense, used as tools to make life easier. Maybe we don't need to be supporting those companies anymore. You were talking about kind of this deplugging for some of these things. Talk to us a little more about that.
Well, it's important for us to begin to realize that we have to take action. And that's such a cliche, but we're at a point where we need to start seriously considering demonetizing some of these businesses that we know don't support personal freedoms. Mm-hmm. We just have to. I mean, they've gotten so large now and so immune to what their customers want, in the sense that they're just selling their products and their services without, and then they make these decisions about how they're going to treat their customers, and there's nothing that their customers can do about that. So the average Joe can't really do anything. Mm-hmm. So we've decided we're phasing out all of our Apple products. We're phasing out our like I said before, Amazon Alexa devices are gone, have been disassembled and decommissioned. We've gotten rid of our Amazon accounts completely.
Figure out how to get out of Amazon Prime? That's like finding a needle in a haystack.
It takes some time and takes some effort and takes some work to do that. You can do that. And so, and we don't buy anything, and it's hard, but because, you know, Amazon's come to a point where that's sort of the default where you go, where you can't find it anywhere else locally. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's exactly the problem. They've gotten now, we've allowed them to get so much power and control over our, I guess our mercantile infrastructure, if you will. So the mom and pops have really been threatened by Amazon. And so a lot of them have gone out of business or stopped carrying certain kinds of things. So we've created this problem. Amazon didn't create this. We created this. And so we need to back down out of it, and we need to hold Amazon accountable to the extent that we can by not buying stuff from their platform. Mm-hmm. Buy it direct. You know, go to your local store if you can. And, you know, frankly, this is the other thing. If you have to go searching for it, it provides that really cool buffer between, hey, I need this, to, gosh, I can't find it. And then you start thinking to yourself, do I really need it?
Oh, right.
Do I really? Exactly. You know, and then you go, well, gosh, maybe I could just save that money.
So
it takes, if you can take some of the impulsivity out of the purchase decision, and it's not true for everything, but some things, if you can take some of the impulsivity out of that decision, then you maybe realize, hey, you know what? I really don't need that. Right. And the other thing is, if you get stimulus money, you know, pay those credit cards off.
Yes.
Don't go out and spend the money on stuff you don't need. Or, I mean, you got bills to pay, and that's fine. But gosh, you know, if people are going to throw money at you, which frankly, it really disturbs me, because it's just a wealth transfer is all it is. But, you know, if it's going to get sent to you, use it to pay off your credit cards. Don't plow that back into more spending for stuff you don't need. Get out of this mess so you can take back some more control of your own life.
And I think that's going to be critical in the next year or so, as we look at how people are spending their money and what they're going to do and how they're making their money, and getting real creative that way. I think make sure we're out of debt and we're freed up in those ways, and we know we really control our spending, and we know what we need every month to survive and all of those things. And I think the fires, the ice storm, and not having electricity is really, around here in Oregon, been kind of an awareness event for us.
That's
to say,
right,
we need to kind of evaluate these things. And it's important to look at those monthly expenses and costs. And one of the things, I'm going to tie you back into this again, you do that complimentary through your advising evaluation. Where are you spending money in those things that you almost have? You have to have. You have to have car insurance. You have to have home or renter's insurance. These are things that are sometimes regulated by law. Other things make good sense, like having an investment plan for the future and things like that.
Sure.
So they can get a hold of you. How so?
So it's bill.sunderland at countryfinancial.com or 503-885-0789. And I will say this, I'm not an advisor.
Did I say advisor?
You said advising, I want to be very clear. I'm not an advisor, but I can assist with
things.
You're
a representative.
I am representative.
There you go.
And I can assist with budgeting things if you need, and help you kind of, it's a kind of a third, you know, perspective. You kind of see what's going on in your life and make suggestions, and maybe you can see some things that you hadn't thought of before, ways to save money.
Would that be adequate?
I could probably do coach.
Bill.
Yeah, I could do coach.
Bill.
Yeah,
I could
coach Bill.
I love it.
Right. Well, you'll get a straight story from me. I tell you that right now.
Well, and it's the real thing up close. And in this day and age, I think we've lost. In fact, I had Mitch Graff on the show talking about customer service.
Yep.
How do you provide a 6-star customer service in a 1-star world? Mm-hmm. And I will say, Bill, you give a 6-star service, and
thanks,
I appreciate what you do for the people that you serve and what you do in our lives, and Terry and I, and certainly your perspective, your insight on these things that are affecting our day-to-day life is so important. And here is something to look at, friends. Here is something to look at. Liberty must be supported at all hazards. Mm-hmm. We have a right to it derived from our Maker, but if it had not, our fathers have earned and bought it for us at the expense of their ease, their estates, their pleasure, and their blood. That came from John Adams.
That's right.
And we've got to remember, liberty is a duty. Mm-hmm. And we're here now at this time, and we have to stand strong, friends. We have to stand strong not only on our behalf, but on our future generations. And I think about our children and our grandchildren and how wonderful Oregon is. And just in 30 years since I've been gone, I'm sad that my organ has come to this, you know, and what can we do about it? So every time I wake up in the morning, I'm like, what can we do about it? We can get empowered, we can get educated, we can get activated, and that's what we're doing. So let's continue the good work, right, Bill?
That's right. We want these people that are trying to do this to us right now to look back on this 30 years ago and say, yeah, we tried that once, it didn't work on these guys, don't try it again. That's what we want them. We want them to understand the power we have.
The power is in the people.
That's
Be
right.
blessed today, friends. Thank you, Bill, for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you, my friend.
Have a great day and a fantastic weekend.
All right, you as well.
Yes. And friends, thank you for tuning in. Remember, this will be saved up on the podcast this afternoon at KSLM.news. Share with your friends, your coworkers, and your family. Have a blessed day, friends. God bless you, and God bless the USA.
Cause there ain't no doubt.